name. So glad you can join us here in our home office, and we wish we could be with you personally, but right now we're all having to live stream and stay safe. We're going to get our minds back onto the Word of God and thinking about mothers today and what a wonderful blessing each mother is to our lives and should be to our lives. Okay? So those of you that have printed out your outline, we're going to start with that now. And there is the last page is a handout. Since on Mother's Day, ABC usually loves to give a flower to each mother and each woman of God, because many times people may not have physical children, but they have spiritual children just to honor you. So I made it in color, our handout for affirmations for our loved ones, with butterflies and a field of daisies, just to brighten your day. And you can print it in color or black and white so that you could use that on a daily basis. And everyone can use those affirmations, not just for mothers. There are fathers that want to pray over their children, and single parents as well. Okay, so that we will get to that at the end. And just wanted to let you know that we had you in mind today and to want to bless you with that. So let's go ahead and get started with our teaching, the motherly love of God. A. Now, we're in number one. The definition in the Oxford Dictionary and also the Collins Dictionary says that the word motherly is an intense feeling of deep affection or characteristic of a mother. And now, what are motherly characteristics? Let's just remind ourselves what some of these things are. Keeping in mind, everyone had a different childhood. Some people had a really kind mom. Some people had a mom that was absent. Some people may have had a mom that died and or were orphans, or a mother that was abusive. And so we want to tell you the good characteristics that God intended for a mother to have. And this is what He wants us to receive in our lives from God, because He provides everything that we need, okay? So the good motherly characteristics are someone that's maternal, mother-like. So maybe perhaps your mother's not in your life now, and there's someone who loves you like a mother. Protective, caring, affectionate, warm, tender, understanding, permissive, or lenient, and sacrificial. In addition, loving, forgiving, nurturing, care for and encourage growth or development, devoted, give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, fond or doting, gentle, serving to improve a person's mood or restore a sense of physical well-being. Now, pastors' wives are the spiritual mothers of the church. And so you may see some of the good characteristics of God coming through the pastor's wives, and everybody is human, and we all are imperfect. So we may not have some strengths in some of the areas that God is growing us in, but just know that all of us pastors do love you very much. Okay? Number three, characteristics of the motherly love of God, specifically with the love of God in mind. A mother's love for her children is one of the most powerful characteristics in the entire world, and depicts the best parallel of God's motherly love for all His children in His kingdom. You ever heard that saying, oh, that person is so unlovely and only a mother could love him? The reason why they say that is because that person probably isn't a very nice person, but through his mother's eyes, she sees him the way that God wants him to be, and therefore she continues giving out that love regardless of how that person's behavior might be ugly. And this is how we should treat every person in our life that is unlovely. that we should show the motherly God of love to that person, which will love regardless of what that person's behavior is. Because you know why? We are modeling after God. He loved each of us when we were unlovely. On days that were cranky or just upset about something, he looks past all of that. And he loves us unconditionally. And every one of us should emulate that kind of God's heart, that he's showing what a mother's love is so great that never gives up on believing that that child could be the best that he or she could be and that God will work through them. Why don't we look at each other that way? And people that we see that are growing and need to grow more in the area of being nice or kind, or maybe they're very offensive, we can still exemplify God's love with his help and ignore that behavior and let God's behavior come through us so that love will cover a multitude of sins. And that's basically the premise of what the Lord wants me to share in this teaching. How can each of us, even men, learn to love in the way a mother loves? And people who don't have children can learn that mother's love. And I don't think that it's possible to know exactly how deep that love is unless you've experienced it. Can you imagine that a woman goes through intense labor pains, and some of them are like wishing that they could just pass out, or they don't know if they could make it, and they push through it. And then when the baby is born, all of a sudden, what mothers have told me, because I haven't birthed a baby, is that all of that goes away. And just looking at the baby, this intense feeling of sincere, deep affection comes for that child, and they immediately forget about the pain they just went through, and then can just love that child regardless. And so when we look at someone who may be saying awful things to us or doing awful things to us, we need to muster up through our heart that love of God, and regardless what emotional pain or physical pain is happening, that we need to just ignore that and let God's love cover the situation, cover whatever sins are there, and continue doing that. And that's going to take a lot of help from the Holy Spirit, right? But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now let's go to letter B. We're going to read Luke 13, 34 to 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. So that's very offensive behavior. But here's Jesus's response, or God's response. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So regardless how they persecuted Jesus, he still wanted to just be there like a mother hen to protect them and help them. That was his attitude, instead of getting mad and upset. Let's go to C, Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And here's God's answer. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I, meaning God, will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So just like we have all of these different lines on our palms, God has us in the palm of his hands, and it reminds him of us all the time. Now the next letter should be D. God's love is like a mother's love, as God said in Isaiah 66, 13. As a mother comforts her son, so I, meaning God, comfort you. So God comforts you and me, regardless of what state of being we're in. He loves us regardless. He loved us so much when we were in sin and we didn't accept Jesus as Lord, that he was able to draw us unto him. And I'm so thankful, aren't you? Let's go to letter B. Characteristics of the fatherly love of God. The definition in the Oxford Dictionary is an intense feeling of deep affection or characteristics of a father. So I want you to see that God has both of the fatherly and motherly love for us, and what the difference of the characteristics are. He doesn't want male human beings to love one way and female human beings to love another. He wants us to receive all the aspects of the love that he has. It's just that mothers focus more on some of those characteristics and fathers focus more on those other, but we can develop those characteristics of love to show to others when needed. What are those fatherly characteristics? Well, A is paternal, father-like, protective, caring, affectionate, warm, tender, understanding, permissive, or lenient, and sacrificial, just like a mother's love. In addition, men are more supportive as far as they want to be the breadwinner. Now, women are working as well. They want to help out in the household. But there are many households that the man is the only breadwinner and supportive that way. But we also need to be supportive emotionally with the children. And also encouraging, vigilant. The men really have that sense of keeping careful watch for possible dangers or difficulties over his entire family as the man of the house. Of course, the woman also wants to be protective over her children. The husband should be also, and father, sympathetic, and so should the mothers, showing approval of or favor toward an idea or action. But a lot of times it's the father that gives the permission and has to approve if a child wants to do something. And in many households, it's a joint discussion, but usually the father, the godly father, will say, okay, I will make that decision after hearing the opinions and follow the authoritative leadership that God has placed as a father. And so, number three, characteristics of the fatherly love of God are A, the fruit of the Spirit. It should be a loving father and mother, but the father should also exemplify this: joyful, peaceful, patient, gentle, kind, good, faithful, humble, and self-controlled person. In addition, godly father should be merciful, gracious, just, truthful, wise, perfect in his walk with God, allowing God to perfect him in all things, and work on not sinning, and be righteous with integrity, disciplines and corrects, teaches and guides, is forgiving, protective, compassionate, strong, and generous. And so let's look at some good examples of motherly love in letter C. The birth mother of Moses, her name is not mentioned much, but found out through research that her name was Jochebed. You can find that in Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10, the story about Jochebed. And let's go to letter A, where they actually will mention her name. Exodus 6, verse 20. Now Amram, who was a Hebrew, took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife. So he married his aunt. And I think that they were about the same age, because her father was 64 years old when she was born, so some historians think. And she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. Now, they usually in the genealogies only list the men, but according to Wikipedia, Jochebed was the wife of Amram, the daughter of Levi, and the mother of Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. She had three children by him. And the Hebrews say that she is praised for her faith in God. Now, Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And what does that mean? It means that someone's name is very valuable, and they become what their name says. So some people will change their name to be more godly so that they can emulate those characteristics of God, just like Abram became Abraham, the father of many nations. And so names are very important. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now, what did Jochebed's Hebrew name mean? It meant Yahweh is glory. That means that God would get glory through Jochebed and whatever she was going to do in her life. And letter D, Jochebed's motherly love of God was sacrificial in its offering as she put her faith in her baby into the protective hands of God. She risked her life and most likely prayed for God to rescue her baby. She was unaware that God would answer her prayer in a great way and use Moses for the glory of God. If you are in a challenging situation that seems dire, ask God to rescue you. He will turn around the bad into good and use you for the glory of God as well. Can you imagine all of a sudden you hear screaming at your neighbor's house, look out the door, and see Egyptian soldiers murdering all the firstborn male babies in your entire town? That would be just a horrifying scene. And Jochebed, instead of having paralyzing fear and just waiting for the soldiers to come in and do something to her baby, she became very proactive. And she grabbed her baby and risked her own life in order to save that baby. And she didn't know what to do, but God must have let her. She just wrapped the baby up, put him in a basket so he could be hidden, and told Miriam, the daughter, to put that baby in the Nile River. And then Pharaoh's daughter, who would go down to the river and bathe, she saw that baby. And we'll see what happened here. So I think, in my own opinion, that Jochebed had such great faith that she had released her child into God's trust, into his protection, into his care, because she could not defend him in the natural. So when you have done everything in the natural, then God will do the rest. So she put the baby in a basket, wrapped him up. She tried to hide it so it just looks like a basket. Like, normally you don't put babies in a basket. It's usually for a food collection or something like that. Or you have clothes or different items in the baskets, but not a child. And so she was disguising it. And she probably thought that basket might be able to float for a while. And she took a risk that it would not, you know, be drenched in the water and that the baby would drown. She had to release a lot of faith. So when you are in the middle of a challenge and you don't see a way out and the whole world has things going on that's seemingly bad, trust in God. Release your faith in God. Do your part and he will do the rest. And release that faith like Jochebed did. Now look what happened. The adopted mother of Moses' name was Bithiah, according to research. The Egyptian name of Pharaoh's daughter was Renenutet. She was named after the Egyptian goddess of nourishment and harvest, who represented the positive destiny and fate of a child. Is that interesting? We become what our names are. She is praised as a woman of valor who willfully defied her father Pharaoh's orders that all male Hebrew children be slain. And she herself could have been killed for disobeying. And she was going to have to pretend that baby was hers her whole life. So she kept this secret to protect Moses. She is praised as a woman of valor who willfully defied the father's order. She was praised of her valor or courage, because her whole life she had to be careful to make sure this secret wouldn't be discovered. And instead, she took the risk to adopt this child, knowing that he was Hebrew, and rescued Moses from the Nile River and reared him in Pharaoh's court as her own son. Without realizing it, because of her motherly love of God, the Lord used her for the glory of God. You know, she had this love that went out for this baby when she opened up this basket. Can you imagine? She knew that once she saw this baby, she couldn't let it be killed. And then her heart went out to him. God must have put this godly favor. And of course she knew it was Hebrew, because their blankets were a certain style and way. And so she recognized that. And she was able to somehow make Pharaoh think that she bore this son, because he would not have a Hebrew child that he was killing and a firstborn to be his grandson. And so the Pharaoh doted on Moses as he grew, because he grew up as one of the royal children. Look how God is. He brought Moses from the river in a humble basket to be reared as royalty. This is a parallel of how God sees each of us, his children, that he looks at us as a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High King, the King of the Kings. And God wants you to know that he sees you as his royal child of God, an adult, those of us that are adults in the family of God. Now, rabbinical records, we're in B, show that Pharaoh's daughter was given a Hebrew name of Jehudijah, or Yehudida in that Hebrew pronunciation, which means Jewish. This indicates that Pharaoh's daughter was no longer a pagan. These records are in the Talmud and Midrash by Yosha, provide some additional backstory to the event that she left in the Exodus to be with Moses, since her family did not survive the plagues. She married Mered, a Hebrew man who was from the lineage of the tribe of Judah. Her nickname, translated in English, is referred to as Bithia. But she, you know, in the pronunciation of that nickname in Hebrew is Batya. The Hebrew translation of Bat means daughter, and Yah means Yahweh. This indicated that she accepted Yahweh as her own God, and because she had made Moses her son, Yahweh would make her his daughter. That was his reward for her. Let's go to D, reading 1 Chronicles 4:18. His wife, Jehudida, bore Jared, the father of Gedor, Haber, the son of Sokok, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. And these were the sons of Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Mered took. So see, it lists in 1 Chronicles 4:18 her Hebrew first name that they renamed her, so that she was adopted into the tribe of Judah, and they didn't want her to use her Egyptian name anymore, because that person, the Egyptian, was now accepted by the Hebrews, because she worshiped the Hebrew God, and she took on the entire culture plus a new name, because she wanted a godly name, not a pagan name. And then it shows her nickname, that these were the sons of Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh. And so that shows that she had married when she left in the Exodus. Let's go to number three. The mother of the little boy with the five barley loaves and two small fishes. And this story is depicted in John 6, 1 through 11. I really love this story, and this aspect of the story really made me be intrigued about the mother who prepared the fish and loaves for this boy. Not much is known about the boy nor his mother, but the motherly love of God that she showed to her son, to care enough to take the time to pack a lunch for him, spilled over so Jesus could expand that love to not only heal the sick, but also feed the multitude of 5,000 hungry people who followed him. You know, mothers do so much that people take for granted. Oh, well, she's a mom. She has to make lunch for the kids. Well, I've seen a lot of mothers who didn't have very much money. And what little they had, they gave to their children and ate nothing because there was nothing left over. We don't see a lot of the sacrifices that mothers make. We don't understand that maybe she wanted to have a career of her own, but she had to take the first job she could find and not pursue her career so she could provide food and clothing and a home for her children. There's a lot of things that we don't realize that mothers do. And all the chores around the house, we just take it for granted that it's done because mom did it. But what if mom didn't do that? What if mom wasn't there? And here's this mother who just was thinking it was a typical day. Her son's going out. He probably heard of all these multitudes of people and Jesus coming, and his name was going out there as Jesus the healer. And many people came and thronged to see him and receive healing for themselves. I'm sure this little boy said, "Mom, I want to go too," and grabbed him before he went out the door and said, "Wait, you can't go out there because it's far until I give you something to eat. So let me prepare something for you. And it might be a long journey there and back." So can you imagine she provided what she had? 5 little loaves and 2 fried fish for him so that he could have something, you know, in his belly so he could concentrate when he was hearing Jesus teaching. And probably it's a possibility he needed healing as well, or just wanted to see the miracles through Jesus. And so B, we're going to read John 6, 12 through 13. When they were filled, meaning what happened? Well, they asked, what were they filled with? Jesus asked, you know, "Hey, what can we buy around here?" This is Pastor Karen's version. And, you know, Philip was thinking, well, he looked at all the people and he said, "It would take about 7 to 8 months worth of money, salary, to feed these people." Now, can you imagine he was calculating math-wise, but then where are you going to get that much food? There weren't fast service In-N-Out burgers, and I doubt In-N-Out burger can feed 5,000 people in one luncheon. Even if you ordered, they would have to have weeks of time of preparation and freezing stuff and then unfreezing it the day of delivery. That is a big ordeal to provide that much food. And so they noticed that this little boy had the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and they asked him for it. It doesn't say they purchased it. Do you know that little boy? He learned from his loving mother, who had the love of God, the motherly love of God. She wanted to give everything she had to her child, make sure he wasn't hungry. He took that love and he said, "Take it all." He could have said, "I'm going to give you 1/3 of a fish and 1/2 of a barley loaf and eat the rest for myself." He didn't do that. He said, "Take 100% of what I have. I give you as my offering," is what I'm thinking happened, because he didn't eat any of it. He wanted to bless God by giving his all sacrificially, and he didn't know if he was going to get lunch that day or not, but he did it. And so what happened? John 6, 12 through 13, we're on letter B. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments, the leftovers, that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. They only had one little tiny lunch bag. Now they ended up the miracle of the multiplication. Every time they were taking out of that basket that was being passed on, it multiplied. It multiplied. It multiplied. It multiplied so much that there was more than what they could eat. And he said, eat as much as you want. Eat until you're full. 5,000 of them. Usually they only had a head count for the men, not the children and the women. So it's possible there could have been 10 to 15,000 or more people there. So there was a minimum of 5,000. And so that food kept reproducing. It was a miracle. The more they took, the more that reproduced in that little boy's lunch bag. And so they had 12 full baskets of leftovers. And so that was amazing to me. Therefore they gathered them together and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So here you have 12 baskets of bread left over. Now, this is Pastora Karen's conjecture. Maybe the little things that you do for others may one day be used by God to bless many other people like the boy's mother. Don't think that the little things that aren't observed by others are not important. God sees everything you do and he appreciates it and will reward you because you're giving out of your heart the labor that you're doing, the tithes and offerings that you send to the church, even if you're giving sacrificially out of what you might need to pay your bills, but you pay God the first tenth because you have faith to obey the word of God, then he will reward you. And then on top of that, you give extra offerings. God does not take that lightly. Here's the investment parallel of what this boy, he gave what little he had. And what happened? This is what I believe. The boy carried on his mother's godly love by offering up his entire meal to Jesus so others could be blessed. Perhaps Jesus gave the boy the 12 baskets of leftovers as payment for his generosity so the boy could reap an abundant godly reward for the small seed he had sown. Whatever you sow, God will reward you abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that you could imagine, hope, or think of. Can you imagine if that happened, that the boy left with a little bag of lunch, came home to that godly mother and said, Mom, guess what happened? What? Jesus asked me for my lunch, so I gave him the whole thing. And he fed all the multitude of thousands of people. And can you give me a hand to bring in these 12 extra baskets they sent home for you and me and our family? Can you imagine her saying, oh, Lord, I blessed the food, but I didn't realize it would be this blessed? Take heart and be confident knowing that whatever you give to God, he will multiply because he wants to reward you and thank you for your offering. Amen. Let's go to letter D. We should express God's motherly and fatherly love to others. The Shema Hebrew prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. And so we know that God is one God, the Heavenly Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are a Trinity. Or they are tri-unity. They are unified together. And so we see that God doesn't give just one aspect of love, but he gives a fatherly love and he gives motherly love, and he wants us to do the same. Number 2, Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:23. Adam was made in God's image. He created him, male and female. He created them. He created him who? Adam. He said him was male and female. And so Adam had the ability to have the fatherly and motherly love altogether. But then God created Eve out of Adam's flesh. so she could emulate the motherly part of God's creation. Therefore, we can emulate all godly characteristics of God's fatherly and motherly love. 3, Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. It's not a suggestion. We need to honor because God requires it, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land. So a lot of children that are having challenges, that are disobedient and dishonoring and disrespectful, it's because they're not honoring their parents. And so therefore, I encourage all children, even adult children, even if your parents have done something awful to you, forgive them and honor them. And now you will live long and everything will go well in your life. Proverbs 6:20 through 21. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. So the good things that you have learned from your earthly parents, cherish. The things that maybe they didn't teach you, that didn't line up with the Word of God, let us emulate what we learned from the Word of God so that we can now imitate our Heavenly Father and give that motherly and fatherly love to others. Because sometimes people say they don't deserve to be loved, the things that people have done or some parents have done to their children. Well, you know what? God still forgives them when they ask, and we still need to forgive them so we don't roadblock our prayers. And if Jesus can forgive us, then we need to forgive others. Amen. And if you have a hard time with that, the Holy Spirit can help you. But we need to be loving, forgiving people, regardless, and forgetting those things that are behind. Or we can't press forward and run towards the mark of our high calling. You cannot live your life looking in the rearview mirror and looking at all the bad that people have done to you. It will only drag you down and cause you not to be successful. And many people get sick because of it. And so I encourage you, forgive, forget, bless, love them, and move on. Proverbs 6:20 through 21. That really is saying, forsake not the teaching. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother or the commandment of your father. Do not. So ask the Lord, help me, Lord, to obey your commandments. Help me to not forsake your teachings and always focus on the good that your mother and father has done. And if you can't find anything good, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Here's one good thing you could think of: people who didn't have a good childhood and are estranged from their parents. Do you love your life? They gave you life. That's one good thing. And God loves you so much that he chose you for himself, that he wanted you to be born again and part of his family. I think that's beautiful. Amen. 1 Peter 4:8, number 5. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Like I was saying previously, that regardless what anybody has done, the covering means that you see it no more. The covering means that it has been put in the sea of forgetfulness, and you've covered that in your thought life, into your memories, so that it is filed away and you're not going to focus it on anymore. That's what it means. You're going to treat that person as if it never happened. That's true love. If every time you see that person, you expect them to do the same sin, then you're not walking in true forgiveness. And we should be praying for that person and asking God to help them turn around, and that the Lord will help them learn how to grow. Because I would want somebody to pray for me if I'm making a mistake or doing something that was getting on someone's nerves and I didn't realize it. I want them to pray for me to change because I'm not realizing it's happening, instead of continually saying the bad things I've done, which turns into a negative prophecy, and then that person will continually do the same bad things because that's what the person is saying they keep doing. So let's stop the vicious cycle. And let's start a virtuous, victorious cycle by speaking those things that are not as though they were over the person. And Jochebed could have said, my son's going to die. And if I put him in that river, he'll drown. No, she didn't say that. Why? How do I know she didn't say that? Because Moses was rescued. And we shall receive what we say. So she received what she said. So she must have spoken protection over the child. She must have asked God to do a miracle and use her child for his glory and offered him up and say, Lord, if you saved my son's life, I offer him up to you that he would serve you and be used by you. This is how I think that her prayers must have been. She was a woman of faith, or she wouldn't even try to save her son. So when you see someone that is unlovely or behaving badly or being abusive physically or emotionally or verbally, then you can forgive them of their sins, and you could in private be praying and saying, Lord, I believe that so-and-so is, according to Ephesians 1:18, you open the eyes of their understanding and flood it with light. You change any hardness in their heart to a heart of flesh. And you send, I send laborers of the field to them that are the right people that would minister to them the gospel of the good news, so that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior and turn from their wicked ways and imitate Jesus Christ. And guess what? They're going to become what you are praying. I don't care how long it takes. You keep seeding and watering and watering and watering through affirmations and thanking God through affirmations, and then your words will come to pass. It doesn't say when, so don't give up. Many of you have been praying over your children for years. You may not have seen the results of them coming back to God, those that grew up knowing the Lord, or maybe you didn't know God and now you do, but your family doesn't. And whoever you're praying over, that you keep praying because it's working. And God is making a way where there is no way, no matter what it looks like. Okay? And so, number six, the great commandment, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, what kind of commandment is great and important, the principal kind in the law? Some commandments are light, which are heavy. This is the Amplified Classic Version. Verse 37, and he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind or intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do love yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. So when you love yourself the way God loves you, without a low self-esteem challenge, without feeling unworthy, without feeling victimized or abused, without feeling lonely, without feeling rejected, abandoned, without feeling a challenge of financial lack, or without feeling fearful, but trusting in God. God says that when we love ourselves as God loves us, then we can turn around and love other people with that same kind of love. But don't neglect yourself. Most people will take care of other people's needs first, and then they're not taking care of themselves. But if that person doesn't take care of themselves, they cannot take care of others. So we've learned it backwards. Because when we are strong, we can help other people with much more strength and produce more effectivity. And so God will provide for you and the others through you. If you pray that way, you receive not because you ask not. So ask for God to provide for all of you. Amen. And so let's look at number seven. God's motherly and fatherly love demonstrated the ultimate sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So if Jesus could sacrifice himself as a sacrificial lamb in order for us to be saved, we can give a sacrificial love to love everyone, not just the ones that you like loving, but the ones that are harder to love. So that way we evangelize, we show the love of God, and we become the model for those that need to see God as a God of love. Ephesians 5:2, Amplified Classic Version, B. So let us purpose in our hearts to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to demonstrate God's motherly and fatherly love by walking in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for us, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Let's affirm Ephesians 4:32, Amplified Classic, together. So let's say this all together, please. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God causes me to be useful.
God causes me to be
useful. Helpful.
Helpful.
Kind.
Kind.
Tenderhearted.
Tenderhearted.
Compassionate.
Compassionate.
Understanding.
Understanding.
And loving-hearted.
Loving-hearted.
Forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another.
Readily and freely.
Readily and freely.
As God in Christ forgave me. Because I walk in the love of God. Okay, now here's my suggestion for all of us. No mother is perfect. Every earthly imperfect mother might let her child or children down sometimes. Because today is Mother's Day. Consider thanking God for your mother or motherly figures in your life by focusing on the good she has done. And thank God that she nurtured you to the best she knew how. In addition, thank God for his perfect motherly and fatherly love for you. And I just want to say a blessing prayer now at the end afterwards. But I want to show you some scriptures that you could affirm over other loved ones, like an intercession. And so let's go to that page 5, Proverbs 31:28. Let's say this together. We could say Jane Doe. And if a person's a single father, you could pray these prayers over him. And you could pray these over your own children by saying, my children. Okay? And so let's say this together. In the name of Jesus, Jane Doe's children, stand and bless her. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:16-17. In the name of Jesus, all that Jane Doe has done for her children will not go unrewarded. They will return from the enemy's land. There is a hope for their future. Jane Doe's children will come back to follow God and draw close to him, for the Lord has spoken. In the name of Jesus, Jane Doe's child or children shall be a disciple taught by the Lord and obedient to God's will, and great shall be their peace, or if it's only one child, his or her peace, and undisturbed composure. Let's go to Matthew 9:38 and Romans 10:15. You could say, in the name of Jesus, I pray the Lord of the harvest sends out born again,
spirit-filled,
anointed laborers into his
harvest
to minister the gospel of the good news to Jane Doe. And let's say this together.
In the name of Jesus,
I agree with all of these affirmations for my own children and my own family's children and all the adults in my family as well. In Jesus' name. And I agree with you in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads and let me pray a blessing prayer over every mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and every spiritual mother since today's Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless every mother, every grandmother, every great-grandmother, every spiritual mother, every mother figure. Help her to become aware of how much she is truly loved, appreciated, and treasured by her loved ones and by God. Reward her with more patience as she confidently awaits the answers to her heartfelt prayers for her family. Give her more courage to persevere through challenging times. Make her aware that she is never alone, but that you, God, are always with her and her family because you are their protector, provider, healer, and comforter. You will lead her and guide her with your godly wisdom, even through the most difficult moments of her life and what's going on in the world today. May the joy of the Lord continually strengthen her. Lord, shower her with your presence today like never before, and bless her with an outpouring of your special blessings today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you all with the love of the Lord, and Pastor James wanted to come up and say hello and close the service with a prayer.
We'll praise you, worship, and glorify your holy name, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us. We bless every mother and every child out there to come closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we're challenged with the issues that go on in the world today, that you impart today a very special peace upon everyone. No matter what the devil's trying to do for bad, you will somehow use it for good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.